Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
The people with the most authority aren't always the loudest online. They're often the ones with stories powerful enough to turn readers into believers. So I'm excited to introduce you to our guest today. His name is Sean Mabry, and his company is called Heart Your Story. I can't wait to listen and learn more. So welcome to the show, Sean. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much.
So I'm curious, because I'm not a good writer. In fact, I would say I'm a terrible writer. How did you end up helping people write books, or actually ghostwriting for people? How did you end up here in this place?
So the funny thing is, my first ghostwriting client chose me. And it was at a time when I was primarily in copywriting or marketing, on the marketing end of things. And they didn't even offer ghostwriting as a service. But he reached out through a mutual connection and said, hey, you're the guy to write my book. And I'm like, that's interesting, because I don't offer that. But I was like, hey, I can look over what you have, give some pointers. And one thing led to another, we ended up forming a really strong bond. And then finally, I was like, hey, dude, you definitely have a book. Let me refer you out to my buddy, who's a really good ghostwriter. And he came back one more time and said, look, if you say no again, I'll go away, but I really think it's you. So I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And then next thing you know, we get into the book. I'm loving it. And now this is my main business. Because part of it too is that I felt such a deeper level of alignment with it as well. Because when I get to write someone's book, it takes me back to why I became a writer in the first place.
You don't owe many royalties for that, do you, since he helped you?
It's funny. His story is actually pretty wild. We're still working on his book, because we ended up adding a lot between the first and second drafts, which actually is pretty common to find. People, once they see the whole picture, they realize everything else that needs to be in the book as well. Plan for that and account for that. And because I think it's, that's part of the process. And one of the things I love about the job is that I love that moment when they see their story as a living thing and they realize, oh my God, there's so much more here versus whatever they thought it was when we got started.
That's amazing, because again, a lot of entrepreneurs have great stories and they have a lot of information. But really writing it in a format that makes a good book where people want to keep turning the pages is not a natural gift for all of us. And I love how the universe sent you someone who is very persistent, putting us in a new direction. It's funny how that works. We find that most everywhere we end up, it's because client ends up saying, hey, could you do this? And we're like, okay, maybe we can. So we get it. We get that. We understand that completely. So tell us a little bit about, like, how do you, when you're talking to someone who wants to use a book, let's say for trust, a business owner, how do you explain to them the type of trust that having a business, a book can actually build for their business?
Yeah, this is one of my core things, is that I am a huge believer that, especially in the world of AI, the best business books will always have some element of memoir mixed in. Now, that doesn't mean it needs to be pure memoir. You can still have a big idea. You can still have your framework, your how-to stuff. That can all go in the book as well. But it needs to be wrapped in not just personal experience, but personal story. Because the difference there is that I can sit here and say, here are the results I've achieved. These are the roadblocks I hit. But story is when you really slow down and show each of those events step by step. And you show your internal reactions to each of those things. Because one of the big things that story, period, does for us is it helps us organize our inner emotional world. Like when we see someone else on the same journey we want to go on, and we see what is going through their head when they encounter a roadblock and how they ultimately resolve that and find a way to move forward, that is actually something we basically can role play through them to better prepare us for when we hit that same roadblock. And when you're a reader that has that experience through an author, it just gives you a completely different level of trust and connection to them versus someone who's merely knowledgeable.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're looking for that in someone that you're talking to? You're looking for that commonality or something to relate to in their story.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, anyone who's had any amount of success in business has those stories. I very rarely find someone who, quote unquote, doesn't have a story. What actually is far more common is that they need help identifying and shaping the story. But it's in there. It's definitely in there. And so I've built out this whole suite of tools to do that. And that's actually part of why I also added author coaching track, where I'm helping you apply the tools to your own work instead of me writing everything for you, because I realized there's no reason why I only need to use these for ghostwriting. The same tools I can turn around and apply to someone who wants to write their own book. And it's going to save them, one of the biggest things, save years of their process. And I'm not kidding. I've met people who've been working on the same book for 7 years. And I'm like, dude, you could have gotten that done in one.
It's a little perfectionism there, or just like you said, realizing they left stories out and trying to figure out how to weave them. And I could see that being challenging. Jeannie and I know, because there's two of us as business owners, we get along fabulously well. We love what we do. But whenever we have to write copy, which is what you did originally, we bicker like 6-year-olds, because we have two different voices. We played with doing booking. Jeannie, you've got a book about 80% done at one time, right? More or less. And we just never followed through with it. So we're probably those people who have something but never followed through. And part of that for us is weaving our stories together so we don't sound like neurotic, crazy people in the book or in our copywriting. So that's something we think we'll revisit in the future in some way.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention that, actually. I just stayed or read a book for another ghostwriter friend of mine. And that was a book with two authors that does the same thing. They weave the voices together back and forth. And I can't say too much more about that book for obvious reasons, but and I've even seen other books that do the same thing where you have two, usually two. Beyond two, it's a different thing. But it can be done. And I find that one of the best ways to do that is to just very clearly signpost who is writing what, because when you're presenting one collective voice, that's where you get that bickering like six-year-olds, right? But if you have a structure where, okay, Jean's going to tackle this topic, Kirsten's going to tackle this topic, and back and forth, that can clear a lot of things up because now you're not having to be territorial over the voice. You're only presenting topics in sequence.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So as far as stories go, do you think it's the, and I think I know the answer, but do you think it's the positive stories or the negative stories? In a negative way, things that we've learned from that didn't quite go the way that we wanted.
Oh, that's an easy one. It's the negative because I spent 3 years working with a mentor who wrote for four generations of Star Trek. So very accomplished screenwriter, very sharp guy. And he, one of the core principles he drilled into me, and I do mean drilled, had much thicker skull back then, is that all stories are about failure. In fact, if you look at any, take any of your favorite screenplays or whatever your favorite movie is, if you break down what percentage of that film the main character spends in some state of failure, it's 90%. Only in the last 10% of the movie do they get what they want. In screenwriting, we call it the denouement, right? The happily ever after, where we get to see different plot threads get tied up. But that scene, that's maybe a scene or two, right? That's really short compared to the runtime of the rest of the movie because once a character gets everything they want, we'll celebrate with them.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
We've seen all the failures that went up to it, but then we very quickly stopped caring, right? Every screenwriter knows you got to get out of there. The story's done. And if you go too far into the positive, and this is, I think, one of the biggest problems people run into when they start building their authority platform is, if all you ever do is share your wins, that actually breeds resentment. That breeds jealousy and suspicion because people are like, good for you, right? It must be nice. But if you can show what it took to get there, not only does that create a deep level of trust, but it goes back to that idea of modeling, right? Oh, wow, this is how they made sense of this really painful moment and got through it. Now I can do the same thing with whatever challenge I'm facing.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that kind of goes against the old school marketing where it was all, I've accomplished this, so you can too, or I know how to do it, and so I'll help you. I don't know, there wasn't a lot of openness and raw kind of sharing the real pain.
Yeah, and I think that kind of speaks to what type of product you're marketing, right? Because if you're selling some sort of quick fix, then you have to present the story that way, right? It's like you get up to a certain point, in fact, you know, in some sense you can think, I look at that as like an incomplete story. You've gotten to the point where really, Act 2 would begin, where now you get deep into the inner struggles and change need to happen. But then it's like, nope, magical band-aid picks, we're done, right? And I think as time goes on, those stories just feel more and more hollow. And that's why, literally, that is the core mechanism of market sophistication. That's why those stories work less and less over time, is that the audience learns, that ain't how it works.
Right? Share with us maybe from your experience or some clients' experiences, or maybe a story that just stood out to you. Story that you felt like really impacted you and how you saw your business or saw yourself in your business.
Oh man, there's a bunch. One of the ones that actually came up for me as a transition in ghostwriting was thought back to way earlier in my career where I was working in-house as a copywriter and the CEO of that company launched his book while I was there. And I got to help out with that process. And actually, a kind of fun side story, I proofread the entire book in a single day because the publisher left a bunch of errors in there and he's like, Sean, fix it, but it did. But the story that I want to highlight here is that same CEO talked about how there was a stretch of his business where the business was crumbling. And this was like, I think maybe 6 months to a year before I started with the company. So I got to come and enjoy the good times like right after this period. And during this time, he was in this really dark place where he knew things were falling apart. He had no clue what to do about it. Really, he did know deep down, but he just didn't want to. He had to basically go fire his partner and it was going to be a whole thing. But while this is all happening, he would literally sit, and he told us this story. He would sit in his parking lot outside the office and read books about Navy SEALs because he thought they were cool, right? It wasn't even a self-improvement thing. It's kind of its own genre these days. He literally was just like, I want to read cool stories about these kick-butt soldiers. And it was the process of reading those stories that the mental toughness and the ability to do hard things bled into him from reading all these accounts. And that's part of what helped him make the leap. You know what? I'm going to go confront this guy. I'm going to take control of my business. I'm going to fix this, which is ultimately what he did. And it led to this. While I was at the company, we were on the Inc. 1000 list 4 years in a row, which is extremely rare. I love that story because it ties everything together for me, right? It's like everything from what happens to the business owner when they become an author, because that's just the level of impact they can have. But also, I love thinking that reader, right? Who else out there is going through their version of that same thing where they're reading book after book? And I talk to entrepreneurs all the time, like, oh yeah, I went through a period of reading like 100, 200 books a year. My goal every single time I work with an author is to make sure that their book is one of the percent of books that person remembers because it has that deeper impact.
Yeah, that's a fantastic goal. Now I want to flip the coin. Yeah. What if you're dealing with business owners that don't have anything? Because I think that's the other thing is sometimes you think, I don't have a story as dramatic as that. The people that are laying in bed showing you pictures of themselves with IVs attached because they burnt themselves out. Or like this guy's story, totally on the brink of failure. What if someone doesn't, because I think there's more people in the middle that are slightly struggling, but it's nothing catastrophic, right? They're plugging along, let's say. Haven't hit any drama, big obstacles, but they just haven't gotten there. How do you talk to someone about that when they don't feel like their story compares to these big stories that other people have?
Good question. So the big problem there is that they've zeroed in on the underdog archetype, which is one of the core four heroic archetypes. Now, notice I said four. That's three other options that most people have barely been aware of most of the time. So what I find, and just to really quickly go over, the other ones are the classic hero, which is the one who basically always does the right thing, Superman, basically. And the way you can position yourself as, you can't really just say, I'm Superman, I'm perfect. What you can do, especially, I think this is really good positioning for a lot of experts, especially if you've got really deep industry experience and you never really had that struggle phase in the same way. But if you have deep insider knowledge, you can say, I am the one who has taken the fire from the gods and brought it down to mortal kind. I am sharing the secrets that no one else will tell you. I am sharing you the insider information that they've kept from you. That's classic hero positioning. The other one that is, again, really, most people don't even know this exists, but the everyman hero, which is not the same thing as an underdog, because underdog is someone where you're looking at them, and this is, like you said, the person like sitting in bed with the IVs hooked up to them. They've had this horrible blow up. But it's, oh my God, how did they end up here? With the everyman is someone where we look at them and think, what would you do in this situation, right? Because they're a little bit more of a blank slate. They're everyman, right? They're normal. They're just like me. And so watching them wander into these extraordinary circumstances and do these great things is, wow, I can actually imagine myself doing that, which actually fills a nice gap between, because I've had that moment of, does my life need to blow up first before I can have the success I want? Because that's what all the underdog stories say. It's, oh, no, it doesn't.
I don't want to burn out and end up in the hospital. Thank you. Yeah. Skip that, please.
And the last one's anti-hero. Man,
the normal person story.
Yeah, yeah. Which I have a whole course on the archetypes, but, and so stop me before I go too far down the rabbit hole. But the interesting thing with that, everyman too, that it actually gives a very different window into your world. Because usually the thing with an underdog is that they've already tried and failed, right? They've already gone in, they have battle scars that are useful in the sense that they can show you how not to end up in that same situation. In fact, one of my favorite examples of a nonfiction author who's very much an everyman is Derek Sivers. Are you familiar with Derek Sivers? So he has a great book called Everything Month, and it's about him launching his company called CD Baby, which was a CD publishing company back when we had CDs. But it's this amazing story of how at every turn, he just went in and said, what do I want to build? Yeah, I know people say you're supposed to build it like this, but I don't want to. Let me find a way to do it, to do what I want. And guess what? He keeps finding a way to do the thing that he wants, right? And that's a classic everyman perspective. In fact, it's even a sub-archetype. I like to call it innocent wanderer, because that is such a rare thing. If you can wander into a situation and just ignore all the established rules, there's such wisdom in that. And those people end up becoming incredible innovators because they're not constrained by the assumptions that other people carry around.
Amazing. And what's the fourth one? You've got me hooked now.
Oh, yeah. So the fourth one is the anti-hero. So the anti-hero is someone who basically has done things that are not heroic, but you can position that as a redemption story where it's like, okay, now I'm turning around. And in some ways, it's got some overlap with the stealing fire from the gods, but now it's, I am showing you the tricks of the bad guys because I used to be one. And a really good example of this is Ryan Holiday's first book, The Trust Me Mine, where he basically broke down media manipulation, right? And that's funny because I only started that book kind of recently, and it's wild how much further things have gone in that direction since he wrote that book. He was way ahead of his time. And he's an interesting case too, because with everything he's done around stoicism, he basically repositioned himself as a classic hero using stoicism as his ancient tradition, right? Like tying himself to this body of timeless wisdom, he gets to bask in the warm glow of that. And the anti-hero was a necessary step to get there because that was what he was known for at the time. But he was able to completely pivot his brand in that new direction.
That is all so interesting. Oh my gosh. Wow.
So yeah. How do you go about helping people find the right book idea?
That's good.
Oh man. So the first thing to do with people is have what I call the five defining questions that I take them through. They're really designed to get them out of their head and into their heart around the story. They can sound a little bit like marketing questions, and they are in some sense, but the thing I'm really fishing for is what version of this story will create a burning need within you to share it. And that's the biggest thing that you guys talked about being stuck on this book for a while. And again, this is the thing I see over and over again, is that people will start a book with this kind of surface level understanding of what the idea is and why it matters, even to them. And it's like anything else in business, to really go the distance, you need a strong why. And so my whole process is digging out that why and making sure everything in the book, it's like a gravity, like a center of gravity, right? Everything comes back to that. Everything is built around that core need to share the story. Because once you have, there's no more writer's block, right? There's still challenges in writing, but those become trivial. I can help people through those easily, as long as I get that piece in first.
Can you give us an example of that, please?
Yeah, I'll use Sam again, a guy I mentioned as my first client. So he has a really, part of his whole story is that he's very successful in real estate and he had people come up and say, hey, can you mentor me in real estate? Yeah, absolutely. Because others had done that for him and he wanted to pay it forward. But what he kept finding is that I'm basically giving people the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving them everything to know. And they won't implement, right? Or something, somehow the wheels fall off the bus and it doesn't go anywhere. And that's when he realized, wait a second, while I was learning real estate, I was also going through this deep spiritual journey as well. And that's the piece that I need to give them too. And not to say that they need to go live my exact life, but they need their own spiritual awakening to go along with the knowledge of real estate, right? And his book, before he even talked to me, the thing he already knew about his book is that I need to share that side of the journey because that's what really people are missing. And then what did is helped him refine that. And it's funny because we've talked very openly about this. His first pile of notes that he sent me sounded like every other spiritual self-help book I've ever read, right? Because a lot of generic concepts and ideas. And I'm like, okay, this is all interesting, but where's the flesh and blood? I need to see a human being going through this stuff and actually going through these changes because it's hard to grasp. Even as someone who's, by the way, a huge junkie for that kind of stuff. I love my woo. I love my spirituality. I read that stuff all the time. But even for me, I'm like, yeah, but I can't. It's slipping through my fingers. And it was amazing because by the time we sat down to write the first draft of his book, he sent me a new outline literally the morning of. And chapter one began with his mother being gunned down in the street when he was in his mid-20s.
Oh my gosh.
And he hadn't mentioned that story to me at all. And I'm looking at it like, oh, this is the real book. Because from there, he went into this very dark period of, you can imagine, right? Just grief and feeling lost. And it was him finding his way out of that kicked off his spiritual journey. And actually, what's interesting is that started as chapter one of the book. That's now chapter two. Because like I said, we've been adding a lot in the second half. As we go through the second half, I realized we need to give a little bit more of who he was before this. And it's funny, in that conversation, I figured we were going to add an extra paragraph or two to chapter one. We end up getting another chapter and a half out of it because with his background, he actually is a genuine underdog. Like, part of his story is that he literally grew up in the hood. Other kids would give him a hard time for being poor. Even kids who are already in dire poverty, he was in worse poverty, right? And they would tease about that. And so to go from that background to the level of success he has now is mind-blowing, but it's not something that just happened by accident. What I love so much about his story is that it's not that rags-to-riches story that feels kind of hollow. We're showing every single step of that process and every single decision along the way where you can see, oh, I can actually believe that someone goes from point A to point B here because I've seen all the steps in between.
Okay, I have to say, when his book goes live, we would love him on this podcast and possibly—
Oh, absolutely.
Would that be great? I definitely want to do that because that's so amazing. And again, it's like you said, there was something before his mother got gunned down that actually was the foundation of who he was. And then that trauma on top of already a difficult life. Another thing that you've talked about is that people often want to start with the second book they have in them rather than—
Yes.
Well, how does that work?
So yes, this is what I call book number one and book number two. So book number two is the thing a lot of people default to writing first because it's the one that's like tactical, it's lean, zero fluff, right? Because they assume that's what a reader wants and needs. But the reality is that most readers don't actually want that. They want the story. They want the inspiration. They want to see the journey. And even if they do, like in some readers, there's a spectrum, right? Some readers do like some homework baked into the book. But even then, how many people actually stop to do the homework in the middle of a book?
As long as I'm not in my car.
Sure. Again, case in point, people are listening to audiobooks more than ever now. If someone's in the middle of a drive, like how can they stop and do the homework? And so the whole belief around book number one is that book number one's real job is to establish you as a character in the mind of the market. And that even goes back to the Troic archetypes, actually, because this is basically playing a fucking say, I'm this archetype. And once you do that, and yes, you could, like I said, you can hybridize in the frameworks, the homework if you want. But ultimately, what matters far more is that when someone reads their book, and I'm sure you guys have both experienced this, they go around and they've got a miniature version of you installed in their head, commenting on everything they see, especially around your topic expertise, right? It's like anytime you start thinking about real estate again, it's, oh, what would Sam say about this? That's the goal. Because that, when you have that, you can sell pretty much whatever you want on the back end. Because now the thing they're hooked on is your perspective, not just your knowledge. Because other people probably have your knowledge or something like it in most cases, right? Excuse me. But having that perspective as something that they're, and as a big book reader, I can tell you there's been so many times where I will finish reading someone's book and all I want is to hear more from them, right? After reading a whole book, I'm like, where can I find more? What else can I buy from them? So just have their perspective again, because it's like a warm blanket, ultimately. It feels good to be in the glow of that person and their wisdom.
Yeah, it's almost watching a really good series or something, or a good film, and you're like, and I know I felt that way. I miss that character. They felt like my friend, or they, you know, they seemed like they would be my friend, I had met them. So you're totally hitting all the right points here, Sean. So I know there are people listening who are thinking, I need to get a hold of Sean because he is the perfect person to help me get this book finally out there. So what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way is to find me on either LinkedIn or Facebook, which you can link below this episode. And I also wanted to offer you guys the custom GPT I built called the Book Clarity Engine, because this is those five questions I mentioned earlier. This is a bot trained on those and very tightly railroaded to make sure it just does that. And the main thing, the reason why I like to share it with people is that I used it on myself. I was the guy that was sitting there, even as a ghostwriter. I was like, do I have a book in me? What should I write about? And I put myself through my own tool while I was first testing it. And that actually turned into the book that I'm working on now. And the one that, by the way, I finished the first draft in 100 days. So you talk about a burning need, right? I found a burning need to share that story. And that was the first spark, was going through the same tool I built to help other people uncover their book. And it's, I better eat my own cooking here. And sure enough, it did the job.
Can we go to ChatGPT then and search for it?
No, I'll link you guys. I'll drop the link so people can get access to it. Yeah, and since it's a custom GPT, which, by the way, this is something I will upgrade down the road, and it'll be, I'll make sure it's still tied to the same link. But eventually what I want to do is build it on a custom platform so that we don't have to worry about ChatGPT at all. Just because it's a little bit wonky. You have to be logged in, you have to have a paid account. And also, I can't see your results when it's on ChatGPT. You have to actually send them to me. But I'm looking at something now that will tighten all that up. And it'll be under the same link. So if I've already fixed it by the time this goes live, you'll be good.
I was so generous. We'll definitely put the link to get in touch with you, as well as the link to ChatGPT in the show notes below. I'm looking forward to try it. And I know Dini is too.
Yeah. Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us today, Sean, and for being so gracious about sharing your tools and your stories.
Yeah, thank you. This has been wonderful.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.